Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, parents, to the Impactful Parenting Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their real stories of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from Kimberly Dempsey and Dana Barron. And Kimberly Dempsey is a former client and now director of marketing for Wellness Lately. She has an amazing story that she's going to tell us, as we're going to be talking about body image and trying to have healthier body images that are going to now also feed down to our children. And then we also have today on Dana Barron. And Dana is an intuitive eating and body image coach and the co-founder of Wellness Lately, who's going to give us some more information about this. This is going to be a huge podcast today. I hope that you're listening. Thank you for being on today, ladies.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be here.
So I want to get started right away with Kimberly's story. How did you get into this? And, you know, from your story, it sounds like body image has been an issue for a little while for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Christina, I think I have a story that's shared by many women all across the world. And my story is one of which I came from a household that had a very weight-centric mother, or it was kind of a very weight-centric household. She was always very concerned about keeping her weight controlled and maintaining a certain image. And she passed that down to me at a very early age, monitoring my body size, putting me on my first diet when, believe it or not, I was 8 years old. I remember going on Weight Watchers, of course. I'm a child of the 80s. And it really taught me that my body was something that was, first of all, wrong, something that I needed to control and work on, and just how I was naturally was not good enough. Like, I needed to constantly be working on my body. And so from 8 years old, that went to, I mean, I can't even count the diets I've been on: Jenny Craig, keto, paleo, Whole30, you know, counting macros, all of those things. And before having kids, it was really a preoccupation of mine. You know, I would say that probably 50% of my waking hours were spent thinking about planning my foods, what I was going to eat, what I couldn't believe I ate, what I wanted to make sure I didn't eat. And this was really kind of stripping away little pieces of my life. It was constantly on my mind and taking me really out of the present. I became pregnant, which, of course, that illusion of control I thought I had over my weight went completely out the door when I gained a lot of weight each time. One of the reasons was pregnancy was, it was kind of like my first break from dieting. I knew I was going to inevitably gain weight. So in my opinion, it was just like an extended binge. I thought, well, I might as well just eat all the things that I've been restricting. And food was very, very charged for me. I was either on a program, on a plan, or I was off a plan and I was trying to get in all these things that I wasn't allowing myself to eat. And that's what pregnancy became for me. This was compounded by medical professionals, you know, alerting me about how my weight, I was gaining weight too quickly at a more rapid pace. Family members, friends and family members making comments about my weight. So after having three babies, each time I would go on very highly restrictive diets, things like Whole30. And what went from just being what I think is very normalized, going on and off diets in our culture, it really became a disordered eating where I was restricting my food. I was going off of the given plan that I was on and really having consistent and regular binge sessions when I was off them. And it, quite honestly, just, I felt horrible. I felt physically uncomfortable. I felt mentally that I was a strong person, motivated, but I just had this ball and chain I was carrying through my whole life, which was trying to control my weight, which started at a very, very young age. And it was really getting to me. And after having my daughter, you know, I was a first-time mother, and I was, my number one priority after keeping her alive was losing the weight. And it just started to kind of bite at my sides. Like, why am I focusing so much time on this? Like, why can't I just accept myself for how I am? The diets had never worked in a sustainable way, but yet I kept going on them and it just started to feel really ridiculous and like a big waste of time. And the binge eating was scary. It was scary to feel out of control around food, not be able to have certain foods in my house, not be able to go to a social event like a cookout and actually be there. I would be so consumed in like what I was eating or what I was not going to eat. This butted up to me having these children and my daughter, who at the time was 5, when my disordered eating really started to ramp up, she was really becoming very observant as to what I was doing, that mommy was always eating something different than the family, that mommy had these measurable mood swings where she was super unhappy when she was putting on her clothes, she's ripping them off and saying different things. She was watching me. And it's been so long, but I still always get like choked up because it was heartbreaking. You know, it was... I always wanted to be the kind of mom that was teaching my daughter how to be, how to love herself and be powerful. And here I was giving her this conversation, this way to think about her body. And I knew that it was an opportunity for me to actually give her a different life and to teach her how to accept her body and overcome this just unnecessary pain that comes from constantly being chronic dieting, on and off diets. And that's kind of a long, short story, but that's kind of what I was struggling with. And my daughter and my motivation to not pass this down to my children was really why I ultimately decided to get help.
I think it's a beautiful story that it, with a happier ending there, even though it's so hard to hear and obviously really emotional, but you came to a point where you wanted to be a role model for your family, which is amazing to me. And the learning process along the way, sometimes that's just how we learn, is going through some really hard things in order to end up better on the other side. And it feels like you have, Kimberly. So congratulations to you. And I want to know more about that, the journey. What was the process of, you know, becoming an intuitive eater?
Yeah. So that's what I ultimately learned that I needed to be. In going on and off diets and having them never actually work in a sustainable way, I started to think that, you know, here I am listening to everyone else's rules, whether it be Whole30 or Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or all these other diets. And what it really does is kind of strip away at your confidence if you always have to rely on someone else to tell you what to do. And that comes down to, you know, what you're eating. And so I, at the same time, was raising these kids, and I looked at my kids. I'm like, well, they're just, you know, they just eat. It's food's just simple for them. It's not a big deal. And a friend actually put me in touch with this company, Wellness Lately, that focuses on teaching this self-care framework that is called intuitive eating. And really what it is, and Dana will go into more detail about this, but it is getting back in touch with our own innate hunger and fullness cues, you know, choosing foods that would satisfy us in a physical and a mental way. And I thought that makes so much sense, you know, to just eat when I'm hungry, stop when I'm full, you know, seek things that I actually want to be eating instead of following a plan. So I started listening to their podcast. They have an awesome podcast. And quite honestly, I wasn't ready. The thought of stopping diets was terrifying for me. And I listened to their podcast for about 8 months. I bought a book on intuitive eating. But all of these things told me that in order to be an intuitive eater, I was really going to have to stop all the diets. I was going to have to give up on this desire to lose weight or control my body. And that was really scary. So it took me really a long time to come around to it. But when I reached out to them, that's when I joined their Food Freedom Academy, which Dana can tell you about. And they really worked with me to, number one, like heal from all these diets I had been putting myself on, break away from that, and reconnect with my own cues about hunger and fullness and all of that. And it was a long and a hard process, but is probably the best thing that I have ever done for myself. And now I can take those life skills, which they really are, and pass them down to my kids.
And how do you feel your family looks at your new healthy eating lifestyle in, you know, from before. Your kids are always watching, just like you said. They watch you, they learn from much more from what you do than what you say. And how has that shifted now in your household?
It's shifted so much, actually, just today. You know, the reason why I became a binge eater was because I was constantly trying to control my food and my intake of foods. I viewed foods as being good, as being bad. And if I ate one bad food, then it was like, you know, floodgates open. I was going to eat them all so I could cut it off on the next start of the diet. My son, who's 5, just came up to me downstairs about 30 minutes ago. And he's like, "Mommy, why does Santa eat so many cookies? They're bad for you." I'm like, "No, buddy." I'm like, "They're not bad for you." I'm like, "All foods fit. Like, he likes cookies. He has some every day." He's like, "Oh, okay." And it's those types of things that I wouldn't have responded in that way. It's like, I don't want them to feel bad about eating cookies. Like, cookies are amazing. They're, in fact, my favorite thing. And it's those like little things that I can now say and do differently, because what Wellness Lately taught me was to believe differently, that absolutely God did not put cookies on the earth to make us go crazy and try not to eat them. Like, they're here to enjoy. And now I enjoy food. All foods fit in our family. It's taken off so much stress in my life because I am not trying to control what they eat either. I am teaching them to listen to their tummies. Like, when they ask me if they want something additional, I say, "Well, what does your tummy say? Do you have room for that? What does your tummy say?" And I'm teaching them these skills, and it's just so different than how I was brought up. And there's so much in that. I don't blame my mother. She was doing what was best for me, but she just didn't know this way. And that's why I got so excited when I joined the Food Freedom Program, because here I was learning a different way. Like, I was going to blaze a different path for them. And I'm not going to say my kids aren't going to have struggles. They're going to have a ton of struggles, but it was my goal that this meaningless one wasn't going to be one of them. Like, I want my daughter to be thinking of how she can be the first, you know, CEO of some company. Or I don't want her to be worrying about gaining and losing the same number of pounds her entire life. There are so many better and different things that we can focus our time on.
I'm going to be bringing Dana in here to talk to you, talk to all of us more about how this program works. But before I do that, you touched on one of the questions I was going to ask you about any resentment from your mother for role modeling and kind of pushing dieting onto you as a young child. I was just learning recently from another guest that came on to the Impactful Parent that like restrictive eating when kids are, you know, "I only want to eat white foods," and they can't because the textures, and they have sensory and, you know, different things that happen, which are not necessarily the child's fault, but these issues start so early. I mean, as early as 3, 4, 5, and they can develop into eating disorders as they get older, especially into the teen years. I mean, this could have this has somewhat happened to you. I would wonder how, you know, do you feel any resentment with, you know, toward any of that childhood upbringing?
It's a really great question. And my honest answer is I felt so much resentment growing up into my, you know, my middle 20s, up into my 30s, up until this program, because I didn't understand why she did this to me. Like, I did believe at my core that she thought my body was wrong, and it was wrong. And now what I see through going through the program is that my mother was just a student of diet culture. And that is the culture that we live in. And it was going gangbusters in the 80s when she was bringing us up. Diet, you know, the structured diet, like the Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig's and the Nutrisystem, that was a very normalized part of our culture. And so she thought she was doing the best thing to protect me from being a part of what's a very stigmatized group, which is, you know, overweight people in America. And it's a real systematic problem. And she didn't do this out of ill will towards me. It's like she thought she was doing the right thing. And that's why I get very excited now, is because we are learning how to do differently. So now I have no bad feelings towards her at all. I have compassion for her, because unfortunately, like, my mother is still in it. Like, she will be going to her Weight Watchers lifetime meetings until she is, you know, no longer here, unfortunately. And she is so stuck in it. And that's really sad because you don't have to be. You can go from having to be like your number one cross to bear and do work on your body image and do work on learning intuitive eating and have it be behind you. And I have compassion for my mom.
Yeah. The culture of America has a lot to do with all of our self-image. And it's shifted over the years. I remember when Jane Fonda growing up skinny was in, and then voluptuous actually became much more popular, you know, nice to have big butt and things like that. And I feel like now we are shifting into a much healthier culture of now it's better about just eating healthy. So let's get into that and bring Dana Barron in. Thank you for being here, Dana. Tell us a little bit more about what you do first.
Sure. So what we do at Wellness Lately is we help women break out of the diet cycle and make peace with food in their bodies so that they can move on to bigger and better things in their lives. I mean, the statistics show us that the average woman who diets spends 50 to 60% of her time thinking about food and her body and, you know, a ton of resources and time just trying to fix her body. And if you look at the world around us, I think if women could reallocate those resources and mind space to better things, we'd have a much better world around us. So we help women to break out of the diet mentality that they've been living in for so long. And we help them stop battling food in their bodies every day.
I think some women do not even know that there might be a problem. So that's my first question to you, Dana, is how do you know if you have an unhealthy relationship with food and your body for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, our definition of disordered eating includes basically all dieting. So any way that you are trying to enforce outside rules on the way that you eat. But this doesn't cause a problem for everyone. Some people can do this their entire lives and be fine. But I think when you are constantly thinking about food, worrying about your body, if you feel out of control around food, that is a really telltale sign because a normal, healthy, balanced relationship with food won't be emotionally fraught. And I think that guilt and shame around eating, if you have, you know, regret or worry, if you're laying in bed at night, checking off the list of all the ways that you failed, if you think about food in terms of earning it or compensating for it or punishing yourself over it. Basically, if you are feeling really emotional around food, that's usually a really good sign. We like a sign for this. We like to call it diet rock bottom, where you're just thinking like there's something inside of you that's just like, it shouldn't be this hard, right? Like feeding myself should not be this difficult. And I think most women know when they reach that place where they just can't do it anymore. Like the thought of going on another diet, spending one more day fighting this fight just feels exhausting to you. I think that's when you know.
I absolutely agree. I think that women will get to a point where they get to that feeling. But parents, if you're out there and you see many of these traits, especially in your daughters, but also in your sons, in your teenagers, as they go through this description of what Dana was talking about, that very unhealthy relationship they start having with food and body image, which is so super common in our adolescents because they are very self-conscious. They're trying to find themselves in the world at the moment. And it's a scary time for them because they're trying on these different hats and they're just trying to be accepted. So what do? It's the body image is, it's so such a sensitive subject. So if you see your child possibly going into some of these descriptions that Dana was talking about, even having them listen to this video, the podcast, or the social media channel, wherever you're consuming this content on, that to get them aware that they might be starting into something that they don't want to pursue later because it's going to be very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you, tell me more about what is intuitive eating.
Sure. So intuitive eating, I mean, at its most basic, is eating in response to your own body's cues and wisdom of hunger and fullness, of satisfaction, of pleasure, eating in a flexible, calm, peaceful style, versus eating in response to external rules, right? So we're really tuning back into the physical sensations of our bodies, the things that we crave, and bringing some joy and satisfaction back into eating. So that's what intuitive eating is versus dieting.
And what is the most important thing that you think that parents could do in order to ensure that they don't pass down these bad habits that we've seen time and time again, just like in Kimberly's story?
Yeah, I think it's investigating your own relationship with food, especially if you have little ones, because, you know, when you're thinking about a child or an adolescent or even a teen, really, it's a family issue. It's a household issue. It's not just an individual issue. So if you are worried about passing this down to your children, the most impactful thing you can do is heal your own stuff around food and body. Because like we said before, kids don't necessarily do what you tell them, right? They see how you treat yourself, how you relate to food, whether mom enjoys dinner or, you know, punishes herself with exercise, the way you speak to yourself when your kids are watching, the way you comment on other people's bodies, the way you talk about food being good or bad or assigning moral virtue to food choices. It's really investigating your own stuff, because you're going to have the most impact on your children's relationship with food and their body. Diet culture is going to be all around them, but if it's not being modeled and reaffirmed at home, it's going to go that much further for protecting them.
So what do you think step one is that parents can do today, tomorrow, or this week to start getting us onto that road of a more intuitive eating cycle?
Yeah, if you're dieting at home, you should stop. That, I mean, that is, you know, being raised in a weight-centric diet-affirming household is usually a key component for children's relationship with food. So if you are actively dieting and body shaming, fat shaming, all of that stuff in your own home, that would be the first piece, would be to reject that diet mentality in your own home and start to try to eat normally yourself.
And tell me a little bit more about what you do for women. I'm sure we're going to have lots of people who are listening to this and resonate with not only Kimberly's story, but also the information that you're giving us, Dana. So what would be the next steps?
Yeah. So the next step would absolutely, as Kimberly mentioned before, it would be to get support, because dieting is the norm. Like our culture, diet culture is the water we're all swimming in. So healing our relationship with food, letting go of the rigidity and the moral virtue around food is countercultural. So definitely reach out to us and book a breakthrough session with one of us. They're free and we can talk you through it. But really, you know, we work with women to investigate their belief system around food in their bodies, right? Because it all, you know, we opened speaking about body image, and this is really what it comes down to, because women wouldn't struggle with food if they didn't believe that their bodies were wrong, right? If they didn't believe that they could access more resources or safety or love and acceptance and confidence and all the good things we assign with being in a smaller body, if we didn't believe that, we would never incur such dysfunction with food. So really working with women to heal their relationship with food through allowing all foods and turning to internal cues versus external rules, making peace with certain demonized foods in the past. There's actually 10 principles of intuitive eating that we would walk you through and support you through making these changes. It's like a practice that we start to build. And then building body image resilience and making peace with your natural body, right? And allowing, you know, allowing all foods and allowing, you know, the belief that there just is body diversity among human beings and no one body is better than another. Like all bodies are good, regardless of how they look and how they function or how old they are. All bodies are good. So really working to eat and change your beliefs and heal is what we do.
I love the messaging behind all of that. It's wonderful. I'm going to go back to Kimberly and ask you one last question, Kimberly, as a person that's been there, done that, you've gone through it and still are. Yeah. What recommendations do you have for anyone out there listening who, you know, they want to start this process? It's so scary to start anything that's change. Like new stuff, change, it's frightening. What do you suggest that they do?
Yeah, it's also scary to be in a cycle of something that's never actually worked. And so the first thing that I would tell them to do is really start to get real with what they've been doing to quote unquote control their weight, literally taking a pad and paper out, listing the diet they've been on, how much weight they've lost, how much time they've kept it off, you know, what was their mental state while they were doing that? How did they feel? How did it really change their life? Sometimes we need to actually see it on paper in front of us to be like, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect something different. And just think like, is this really how I want to continue the rest of my life? Do I really want to keep doing the same thing, keep investing money in, you know, this new trend or this new trend, expecting something different? So that's really, for me, it was like, I'm a smart woman. This has never worked in a sustainable way. Why do I keep doing it? So that's really what got me. And so that's what I would say, like, get honest with what's going on. And also define like what you actually want. Like, what do you actually want? Do you want to have peace with food in your body? Do you want to just eat like a normal person? Or do you want to be this certain size? And if that certain size is, you know, blaring at you, why? What about that size? What do you think is on the other side of that number on the scale? Like, why is that so important? Do some journaling. I'm a huge fan of journaling, and with time, like, the answers will come out, and you'll see that where many people get is they know that they don't want to keep dieting, but they don't know how to actually move forward and be an intuitive eater. And that's why having someone like Dana that has been there, been where, you know, we are in our disorder, and now been to the other side, it is literally trained to actually walk someone through, is so important. So get support.
Let's get to that support. If you would like to get help from somebody like Dana, how would they contact you?
Sure. I mean, you can find everything about our company at wellnesslately.com. We also have a wonderful free masterclass that will help you start to shift your mindset and give you those first five ideas to really wrap your mind around. And you can find that at wellnesslately.com/masterclass. And if you want to speak to one of us, we do the free breakthrough sessions for anybody who wants to investigate their relationship with food and their body. There's no strings attached. We'll just get on the phone with you and see what's not working and how we can help you start moving forward. And you can schedule one of those at wellnesslately.com/apply.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on today, ladies. You have so much to tell us. And I know that there are women out there who are going to be able to reach out to you and get the help that they need. But if you have an inspiring story and want to share your story with the audience so that others can learn from you, please go to theimpactfulparent.com. Go to the Work With Me page at the bottom. You'll find a sign up there because we also want to learn from you. And until next time, parents, you got this. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources. Or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.